Good morning, everyone. My name is Galileo, and as we prepare to take communion, the bread that represents the body of Jesus and the juice that represents the blood of Jesus, I would like to share how the message of the cross has changed my life. I'm originally from Brazil. In my teenage years, I did not know God in His teachings. I was living my life for myself and planning for my professional career. My earthly father had a vision and a plan to send me to the U.S. to get a great education and go back and work for the family business. My heavenly father also had a vision and a plan to send me to the U.S. to be met by a disciple of Jesus and to find him. As it is stated in Acts 17, God appointed the time and places where they should live, so that they would seek him and perhaps find him, though he is not far from any of us. Actually, this message was also read in my wedding. God brought Michelle from the northeast part of the U.S. and brought me from the northeast part of Brazil to meet in the southeast part of the U.S., become one, and help each other get to heaven. So I was living in America, getting a great education, had a place of my own, a brand new car, and money in the bank. From the outside, one might think that I had a lot going on. In Genesis 1, the Bible says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Even though I had the things of the world," this is how I felt. My life was formless, I was empty, and I was in the darkness because I did not know God and did not have a relationship with Him. Even though I was acquiring this so desired college degree, to be honest, I was biblically ignorant until I was met by the disciple of Jesus on campus. I then decided to study the Bible. And in Matthew 3:17, after Jesus got baptized, the Bible says, God says, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." The Portuguese version says, "This is my son who makes me very happy." And I then realized that the life that I was living, I was making God very sad and not happy. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, the Bible talks about us being dead in our transgressions, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, disobedient, like the rest, we were nature deserving of wrath. I then learned that the life of sin I was living was separating me from God. Separation hurts, and I can speak for myself. My entire family is in Brazil, my mom and my relatives. My mom once texted me and said, "The greater the distance, the greater the pain." And when we decide to be separated from God, it hurts God. However, in Ephesians 2 as well, in verses 4 and 5, it says, "Despite of being spiritually dead, the hope that we have in God is limitless." This is the power of God. It says, because of His great love, His great mercy, we were made alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our transgressions. So I learned that because Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I now had the opportunity to be and stay close to God. Being a disciple and working in the healthcare administration, it really helps me to put things into perspective. The Bible teaches that from dust I was created, and to dust I shall return. The Bible talks about Jesus' last breath, and it reminds me of the last breath that my dad took 11 years ago, which was very painful. So the question is, what is your greatest blessing? What is your greatest treasure? What is your greatest possession? A book named You and Me Forever, the author says, People go overboard worrying about their last 10 years on earth instead of preparing themselves for eternity, the tens of millions of years to come. And the writer challenges the readers to live your life on earth preparing yourself for eternity and not just for the moment. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, the Bible says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we were convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for who? For him who died for them and was raised again." There are so many young people out there living their lives for the moment, even some saying that living for Jesus is a loss. But I'm here to share with you that to live your life for Jesus is a win. It is a gain. By God's grace, we receive the forgiveness of our sins, the salvation of our souls, and life to the full. As we look at 1 Corinthians 13, there are two words in that passage that really get my attention. It's always in love. And lately I was thinking, is it possible that God always loves me? I even had a hard time saying that because of my weaknesses and my sins. But the cross tells us that Jesus always loves us. So how should we respond to such incredible love? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." So as we take communion this morning, I'd like to encourage you to think about the fact that because Jesus died on the cross, we may be compelled by such love and decide to live our lives for Jesus, doing his will and not living for ourselves. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you and we are overwhelmed by your amazing grace and incredible love for us. We thank you for Jesus, for his sacrifice on the cross, knowing that the blood that he shed on the cross forgives us for our sins and allows us to have our names written in the book of life. You teach us to leap for joy, for great is our reward in heaven. May the message of the cross be alive in our hearts and our minds so that we can live lives that will make you happy. Thank you for Jesus, for his life, for his teachings, and most importantly, for his sacrifice on the cross. In his name we pray. Amen.